Thankful for the wonderful crowd. Good to see Carl. Just some folks from White Oak here tonight. Just appreciate that again. And I'm just glad that you're here. Glad that people from Rubyville's here. And we're looking for a great time in the Lord. I expect to see more come to the altar tonight. I thank Barry for minding the Lord tonight. And everything that has went in the service has been directly what I'm supposed to preach on tonight. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. If you could, would you stand with me? Genesis chapter 12. We'll start with verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Well, most of you Bible readers know, maybe for some of the kids here that don't know, Abram, actually, his name was changed later to Abraham, so you know which one we're talking about here. But we're going to preach tonight. I want you to notice something. In verse 1, God told Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. He told him to leave everything except his family, his immediate family. And look what happened in verse 4. It says, And Lot went with him. Lot wasn't supposed to go. And I'm going to try to bring out some things tonight at how Lot was just a hindrance to Abraham, and it has affected even the world today because Lot went with Abram. So tonight we're going to preach on leaving Lot behind. Leaving Lot behind. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the Spirit of God that has been here. I thank you for the wonderful group of kids that we have here. I thank you for the singing. They sing in the Spirit tonight, Lord. I appreciate that. I appreciate Dustin, his song, and I appreciate the boys they sang tonight. And Father, I ask that you please just come down, Lord, tonight. We pray that the Holy Spirit will just anoint our mind, anoint our lips, Lord, to give us a physical touch tonight, we pray. And Lord, just please, just crown this service with victory at the altar. We've already had Barrett at the altar. We thank you for how he minded the Lord tonight and got things settled with you. And may there be other ones here tonight that have some things that they're not leaving behind in order for them to move on with God. We love you, Lord, tonight. We ask these things in your precious holy name. Amen. You'll find if you go home and you read Genesis chapter 12 through 22, there's actually 48 promises that was given to Abraham and his seed. Now, I'm not going to preach on all 48 promises. I'm just going to preach about one, really, where he was going, where God promised him the land of Canaan. And even though Abram's in the Hall of Faith chapter in here in chapter 11 of Genesis, we find that the promise was given to Abraham in chapter 12 that he was supposed to inherit the land of Canaan. And so his dad, Terah, you'll find in chapter 11 in verse 31, Terah took Abram and his family with him, and they started out toward Canaan. But they ended up stopping at a place called Haran. Haran was Abram's brother. And so they had a little village there, a little community that Haran and his family were living. And so Terah and Abram and Sarah, they stopped there. And I realized from this that the promise was given to Abraham to go and inherit the land that he said, Abram didn't know where he was going, but he said he was going to a city whose builder and foundation was the Lord. And so even before Abram could go and inherit the land, Terah had to die in Haran. Why was that? Because Abraham wouldn't have inherited the possessions of Terah unless he would have died. You see, sometimes good things have to happen to bad people in order for you to fulfill the promises of God. Some things have to die in your life. I'm not talking about certain people, but I'm talking about certain things have to die in your life in order for you to inherit the promises of God, or they will become a hindrance to you as well. So we find that Abraham and Lot was Haran's son, and Haran died and left Lot with great possessions, and Terah died and left Abram with a lot of possessions. So they both had the wonderful possessions and they were rich. They had animals. And so we find that God told him you were supposed to leave your country, leave your kindred, take only your immediate family. But verse 4 tells us Lot went with him. It's become a hindrance to him. And I want to show you tonight three things of what happened. Abraham had to fight for some things, and he wouldn't have had to worry about all these things if he would just left Lot behind. First of all, there was a fight for soil. There was a fight for soil. You'll find if you continue to read that they came to land, and you know that whenever sheep and the cows and the cattle are hungry, they're going to go to where the grass is. Don't matter who their servant is, they're going to go where the grass is because they're hungry. And so we find that whenever they came to good land, that Abram said, okay, Lot, you can have what you want, and I'll take whatever you don't choose. And so there was a strife among the herdsmen there. There was a strife among Lot's herdsmen and amongst Abraham's herdsmen. And see, Abram wouldn't have to worry about all that if he would have just left Lot where he should have been. He could have the soil all for himself. He could have the good soil to feed his cattle. But because he took Lot with him, it became a hindrance for him, and he had to fight for soil that would have been his anyway if he would have just left Lot behind. A lot of times, Satan fights the soil of our heart with things of our past. And I heard of a story of a preacher, a young preacher, just been saved a short time. And he was in drugs and alcohol really bad. And for 6 years, he had no connection with his past. And then all of a sudden, one day, his group of old buddies came up to him and said, hey, I want you to come with us. I want to show you something. And he said, no, I can't go with you. He said, I'm a Christian now. I'm trying to serve the Lord to my best ability. They said, no, you're not going to deal again. We just want to show you something. So they brought him and they took him in a car and they took him down this long deserted pathway in these woods. And they got to an open area, and in this open area was a big old yellow Ryder rental truck. And around that rental truck was a bunch of guys with submachine guns. He thought, what in the world have I gotten into? And so he got out of the car and they said, don't worry, don't be scared. We just want to show you something. We want to show you what you could have had. And they lifted up the back of that Ryder truck, and there was $200 million in drug money. And the devil jumped on that man and said, look what you could have had. Look what you could have had. You could have had the money. You could have had fame. You could have had fortune. And he left that place. The devil was hounding him about his past. The devil jumped on his back, and he went to his pastor. And he told him about the situation he'd just been through. And he said, yeah. He said, you could have had all that money, but you could have been in hell tonight too. Young people, all the devil's apples have worms in them. No matter how shiny it is, no matter how crisp it is, if the devil gives it to you, it's going to have a worm in it. He showed Judas the silver, but he didn't show him the suicide. He'll show you the good times and the parties and the drugs and how everyone's happy and everyone's having a good time. And the Bible even says there's pleasure in sin for the season. But he won't show you my uncle living in Waverly, Ohio tonight that has drunk his life to death and he has only less than 5 years to live if he quits drinking. He hasn't quit drinking. He hasn't stopped smoking. He hasn't stopped taking drugs. And in just a matter of time, he will die. He won't show you that. He won't show you all the drunken driving accidents. He will show you the good kids just like you that have just took one drink and couldn't handle it and have died right there in their seat. He'll show you the good time, but he won't show you the flip side to it. And there is a flip side. If you don't get rid of things like that in the past and leave Lot behind, there'll always be a fight for the soil of your heart. Then after the fight for the soil, there was a downfall with Lot. And preachers, I want you to write this down. This will be a good sermon. You've probably heard it preached. I'm sure you have. Four steps to Lot's downfall. First of all, he looked toward Sodom. Then after he looked toward Sodom, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Then after he pitched his tent toward Sodom, he dwelt in Sodom. Then after he dwelt in Sodom, he sat at the city gate in Sodom. So he looked toward Sodom, then he brought his family toward Sodom, moved everybody into Sodom. Then last he was sitting at the city gate wondering how he got there. We can call that the progression of bondage. You just don't get up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to be in bondage today. There's a progression. You look toward the sin. Then you'll bring yourself toward the sin. Then you'll live in sin. And then once you're in the sin, you'll look back and say, how in the world did I get here? That's the way it was with Lot. Not only was there a fight for soil, there was a fight with the servants. They were living in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family. There came an invasion on Sodom. And they captured everything. And Lot's family was in trouble. So Abram had to, along with himself, had to go with 318 servants to fight to get Lot and his family rescued. He wouldn't have had to worry all about that if he would have just left Lot behind. He wouldn't have to risk his own life if he would have just left Lot behind. There was a fight for the soil, a fight for the servants, and there was a fight for souls. You see, Abraham had a blood covenant with God. You want me to show you how strong a blood covenant is? Say, for instance, me and Cameron here, we have a covenant. Everything that I have belongs to Cameron. Pretty good deal. But watch out. Everything that you have belongs to me too. It's the way covenant works. And Abraham had a covenant with God. So that means everything Abraham had belonged to God. And everything God had belonged to Abraham. You'll never read where God asked somebody before He destroyed a city. But He asked Abram. Why? Because his blood was in Sodom. And that was a part of Abram. And he wasn't going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was out of there. Because he wouldn't destroy Abram's blood. So here's where we get the term Jewing him down. You ever heard that term before? Here's where we get it. This is where it's from. Abraham was pleaded with God, started bartering for souls. Started with 50, and you know how the story goes. Started with 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. You ever noticed only four came out of that city? That shows me that some of Lot's family was still in there when it was destroyed. And even though we can make it out by the grace of God, there's still going to be some of your family that are going to be destroyed with this world. And it pays for you to have a burden for them each and every day. When you wake up, you need to have their face in your mind. Say, I want them to go with me. I don't want them to be left behind. Now, after that, it got even worse. After the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his two daughters, that was the only ones left, went into a cave. His daughters got him drunk, had children with him. And the production of that came two sons, the father of the Ammonites and the grandfather of the Amalekites. Those two groups of people have been enemies of Israel forever. And that never would have happened if Abraham would have left Lot behind. You see what I'm saying? It just don't affect where you're at in this day. It affects years and years and years and years to come. And see, I kind of say it this way, it's either kill or be killed. Because if you don't kill Lot, if you don't leave Lot behind, it will come back to haunt you later. You see, Moses and the children of Israel came to Petra, and they wanted to pass through and take a shortcut. And that land was owned by the Amalekites. And so they got there, and the Amalekites wouldn't let them through. And God said, I'm going to destroy the memory of the Amalekites from your mind. You write it down. God tried to do that 400 years later with King Saul. He said, go destroy the Amalekites, and you kill everything, even the king, you kill everything. But if you go and read the story about where Saul went to kill the Amalekites, he didn't kill everything. He kept some animals, and he didn't kill Agag. And so what he would do, and I found this out, this was really interesting, he wanted to show Agag off. What they would do, they would strip him, and they'd put him down on all fours like a dog, and they'd put a chain around his neck. And he'd lead him through the city, just like a dog. That means I have conquered this king. He wanted to show off. But God said to destroy it. And you'll find if you read later when on Mount Gilboa, whenever Saul and his sons were killed, guess who it was that brought back the bracelet and the crown to David? It was an Amalekite. If you don't kill it, it'll come back and kill you. If you don't leave Lot behind tonight, kids, if you don't leave some things in your past and say, I'm going to let it die tonight, I'm going to draw a line in the sand, I'm going to draw a chalk line and step over and say, I'm going on for God. If you don't kill it tonight, it will kill you. Amen. It'll kill you. Lot represents two things, the past and the flesh. And if you don't leave those two things behind, you cannot inherit the promises of God. You cannot go forward with God because it will always be a hindrance to you. None of this would happen to Abram. None of this would happen to the children of Israel if he were just left Lot behind. I want to leave you with a story. This true story just happened just a few months ago. About a year ago, I was preaching a service at a church called Cotty's Corner, which is up in Raritan, if you know where that is. Preaching a little church there, wonderful little church. And me and Mick and Bethany were singing. And right at the congregational singing, the Spirit of God was moving, and the guy got up to lead prayer requests. He says, anybody have a special spoken request tonight? Young man raised his hand a couple rows back and said, yeah, I got a request. He said, I've been thinking about getting saved, and I'm ready to get saved right now. So he stepped out. He got saved that night. His wife got saved. And man, we had a hallelujah time. Wonderful service. Well, I didn't know it, but that young man, he was actually a lot older than I thought because sin had taken its toll on him. Just in his early 30s, I thought he was close to 40. He was a state champion wrestler in Pennsylvania. Real strong, kind of smaller little guy, but he was real strong, you could tell. His name was Joe Reynolds. In fact, if you drive on 772 toward 32, you'll see a sign that's Adopt a Highway and says the Joe Reynolds family. That was his family. So, there he was, doing wonderful for God. He worked with Terry Lawson, the pastor of Yankee Hill. They tried to keep him in church. Another man there even took him in his home. But see, he couldn't let go of his past. He couldn't let go of the drugs and alcohol. And just a few months ago, I got a call. I said, hey, you remember Joe? I was like, yeah, I remember Joe. He said, he's had a lot of problems. I said, Brian, he said, his wife was having an affair. And he went up to the house to confront the guy, and the guy came out and shot him right in the chest and killed him. If you don't leave Lot behind. Lot represents a lot of things in your life. It could be different for any of us. But if you don't leave it behind tonight, somewhere, sometime, it will kill you. You say, Brian, that's just a circumstance. No, it's not, folks. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. I know the devil likes to bug us with our past, and I'm sure he bugged Barry about it. He came tonight, got things settled. A lot of you have lived a lot wickeder past than I've had, so to speak. We are all sinners, saved by grace. But he likes to remind me of my past a lot, stupid things I've done. Like I said the other morning, we try to bring him to God. We say, Lord, you remember that time when I was doing this and that? He'll say, what are you talking about? I said, I don't know. What are you talking about? He said, oh, you know, remember that time before I was saved? He said, no, I don't remember that time. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, I'll look at your record and it's got some blood on it. There ain't nothing else there. Amen. So kids tonight, when you came and got saved, those of you that got saved this week, you just forgot about everything that you ever done in your past. Amen. Just like Dustin sang tonight, Jesus buried it in the sea of forgiveness. Our old pastor, Brother Debs, went on to be with the Lord. He said, put up a sign for the devil that says no fishing. I like that, don't you? Amen. Well, listen tonight. This is a serious, serious matter. There are things that you're holding on to. There are things that's hindering your walk with the Lord. and you better leave them behind tonight. Even though they may seem small, small things can create other problems that create other problems that create other problems that eventually will turn you around. And tonight as we stand, I want you to bow your heads and I want Todd to come with a song. I want you to bow your heads tonight and I want you to think. Don't worry about anybody else that's here. I know we have some lost here tonight. You've been praying for them. And that's great, but I want you to look inside your heart tonight. I want you to take spiritual inventory tonight. I want you to look through every room of your house. I want you to look in the closets. I want you to look under the rugs. If there's anything there whatsoever that can become a hindrance to you, I want you to come up here tonight and I want you to leave it behind. Leave it behind. And by the grace of God, if you leave it behind tonight and put Jesus' blood on it, He forgets about it and you can forget about it too and go forward with God. And I wonder tonight, as I get a song ready, I wonder tonight, how many of you have some things in your life that's a hindrance to you? And it's stealing your joy. It's stealing your witness. And you would say, Brian, you know what? I'd really love to leave it behind. It's become a hindrance to me. I can't serve God like I want to. I can't witness like I want to. The joy that I once had is not there. Would you pray for me that I can leave that thing behind tonight? Would you raise your hand and put it straight up and put it right back down? I won't come to you. I won't badger you. I promise. I promise. If you just let us know that we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand tonight and say, Brian, pray for me. There's some things in my past I need to leave behind. Anyone at all? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Say, Brian, pray for me. There's some things I need to leave behind. Some things that's happened in my family. Things that's happened with my mom and dad. And it's hindering my walk with God. And I need to go forward with God. I want to serve God with my full power. But I need the Spirit's help. And He can help me tonight. Would you just raise your hand and say, Brian, help me to leave it behind tonight. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? How many of you would say, Brian, I don't know Jesus is my Savior. I've been thinking about it. The Spirit's been convicting me. I felt the Spirit of God in the services, and I want what these kids have got. I want the joy that they have in their life. I want that peace. I want that happiness. And I'd love to come up here and leave my sin behind tonight. Well, you can do that. Would you raise your hand? Brian, pray for me. I'm lost. I need Jesus. I know I need Jesus. I know I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Raise it right up and put it right back down. As they sing tonight, those of you that raised your hand, those that didn't, if you have some problems, why don't you come and leave them behind tonight?